Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. What's up, besties?
Hi, besties. Welcome back.
How's everyone doing? Hope you're having a great week. And we are so excited because we have the coolest musical guest ever on the show today, the amazing Tanner Words. Hi, Tanner.
Hello, ladies. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we've all been really busy this time of year, so it's nice to kind of just kick back and relax a bit.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, we're doing a little at-home recording today, just vibing with Tanner on the couch. So.
But we know each other. We've been so busy.
I know.
Like in the past couple of months, like musicals, performances, life.
I know, and working. Look at Tanner's previewing his own episode right now. I love that.
Right, but y'all do that too.
So true. So Tanner, start us off by talking a little bit about your background, like everything kind of before college.
Yeah, so not a crazy pipeline story, but born in Toledo, grew up in Sylvania, graduated from Sylvania Southview. Go Cougs.
Hey, wait a minute.
It's fine. That's what therapy is for. And now I'm dating someone who went to Northview.
Yeah, true.
So
karma.
I know, right? So then I went to the University of Toledo, graduated with a marketing degree. Nice. I was at the commencement that Katie Holmes.
I was Toledo at, native Katie Holmes.
That was my, sorry. Anyway, yeah, my commencement was her when she was giving that speech.
That eats.
So.
I love that.
Anyway. And then after high school, I continued my education at the University of Toledo with a degree in marketing, where I was also very involved with Toledo marching band, and I got to go to all the bowl games.
Nice.
So I'm really lucky I was in band at a time where I was a trumpet player in the marching band.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky that I was there at a time when like UT football was really good. So all 5 years we went to like all these different trips, including the Bahamas.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, college trip, use your imagination, but it was an absolute blast.
I love that. That's
awesome. But aside from just like the typical, like, here's where I grew up, here's where I went to school, I've been playing guitar since 2007. So that would have been like fifth grade.
Oh, wow.
And I'm 30, and I just turned 30 a couple months ago. So, do the math there. But, No, I think I was just one of those kids where, like, you try all the different things, like taekwondo, scouts, baseball. I did all the activities, all the sports, mostly baseball and wrestling. But I think really, like, once I found guitar in fifth grade, I think it just kind of became my thing. You always had the sports kid. Or, you know how it is growing up around here, especially in Sylvania. Like, you always had the really smart kids or the really athletic kids. So there's always some kind of niche that kids latched onto.
Yeah,
and like when I found guitar, I was like, oh, this is my thing, and I've just it's insane. Like looking back, now at 2025 and all the people I've gotten to play with, work with, places I've played at, all the scenarios too, everything from just like the dirtiest bars to like high school theaters. It's been a journey, but I love it.
Definitely. Yeah.
So you always knew that music was something you were gonna stick with.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether I've always had career aspirations, and I don't think they'll never go. At this point, it's never going away. I'm always, we're trying to grow and like expand what we're doing while still making sure we still love what we're doing. I think a lot of people like want to get big and then like they lose their passion for things. I'm really trying to hold on to the passion, but just at this point, I'm just trying to see where it goes because the world and life is so unpredictable. So all I can do is just ride the course, but like have a good time doing it.
Absolutely.
And with music, that's such a really cool way of doing so because
talk to us a little bit about some of your personal influences for music and what's really spoken to you.
I mean, it always starts at home, like with like growing up, whatever your parents play in the house, like, or definitely in the car, like in between like baseball practices or guitar lessons
for whatever. Sure.
But my parents were 70s kids. They both graduated high school in the 70s, so a lot of 70s classic rock. But even like a lot of your singer-songwriter stuff from the day, like, I guess like my parents both love like Journey, Foreigner, Elton John, Billy Joel. So like a lot of that 70s type stuff. And then, so I think that's a lot of the kind of first stuff I latched onto. Michael Jackson and Prince for sure. I'd throw them in there. And then, of course, over time, especially once I got into guitar, I kind of got into my own influences of stuff. And of course, whatever's going on in the day, whether it's like, I love Fall Out Boy. Fall Out Boy was a big one for me. All-American Rejects.
Like the early 2000s was just like a hotbed for angst. Like everybody was just, angsty music was on fire.
That's the thing, because like, that's the best segue, because like once I got into guitar, once I get into like, you know, your junior high, early high school years, like, I was a metal kid.
Yeah.
Like, I wore a Slipknot t-shirt.
I was about to say Slipknot.
I was a kid at, like, Timberstone Junior High, like, sitting there with a Slipknot t-shirt. But, like, I'm just going to go home and I'm like, hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. How was your day? Like,
getting, like, straight A's on your math test wearing a Slipknot t-shirt.
Seriously. And then, especially once I got into high school, especially, I don't know how it was for you guys, but for, like, when I got into high school and, like, you're meeting all new people, you're exposed to so much more different kinds of music just because of everyone's personal tastes.
And so for us too, like, we want to know not only how you got to form your band, The Currents, but also just talk about your band influences too. Cause I know you guys have a lot of like pop and rock influences there.
Yeah, definitely. So, The Currents, we all met each other kind of collectively in different ways, but then in the last couple years, worlds collide, we all come together.
Yeah.
I knew Emilio from high school cause he went to Northview, and he was part of the Northview crew that I knew, despite going to Southview. It was when he was in a band, The Farther I Fall, at the time. I remember in 2012, they played at Centennial Terrace when a show called Sylvania Live was organized. So that was kind of where I first met him. Luis, I met him in college. We had mutual friends, but actually him and I didn't really click until we both were both dating girls who were in the same sorority.
Oh, gotcha.
At UT, and like there was a formal night, and we, you know, girls go off and do something, so then the guys are kind of just kicking back, just like, oh, what's up? but that was kind of a scenario how him and I really clicked, and that was like 2016, and he's, you know, they're both two of my best friends, and you know, then you got Matt, who rounds out three of my best friends here, where we formed The Currents. I've known him just from different bands he's played in the scene for years. He's one of the just most talented multi-instrumentalists. All those guys are. We record at Emilio, so like we're a very independent band, and Luis is like a killer songwriter. So we definitely just had. Then I somehow fit in there wherever.
You're also cool, Tanner. It's okay.
It's like when you're at McDonald's, you want fries with it? Yeah, okay. But when I come out, they're fresh.
Yeah.
And it tastes great.
Oh, absolutely.
Interpret that how you will, excuse me. But but it just, I don't know. I'm a big metaphor guy. I think a lot of that has to do with songwriting.
Yeah.
Especially like as in like, you know, like we'll get into like writing stuff too, but like metaphors are a big part of, you know, just taking something and making a big picture of it. And that's something that Luis is really good at. And like a lot of the bands that we like would be like The Smiths, The Cure, Oasis, a lot of British bands. And there's a lot of British bands, like a lot of people kind of know or don't know that people should know. Like Sam Fender is an artist over there right now in the UK. He's kind of like the young Bruce Springsteen of like our time, but he's
truth.
But like, I don't know if you guys are, if you know him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. Jeff Buckley, who
I love Jeff Buckley. Yeah,
he's a big influence. And I hear it sometimes in Louise's just the way he like goes about things, like definitely listening to Jeff, I think has helped him become like a really good singer.
And so talk to us too. I mean, I know you talked a little bit about songwriting, but tell me kind of about the ratio between original songs and covers, how you guys balance that, but then also talk about the original songs that you guys do put together.
The ratio wise, it's very like, I'd say it's 80-20, 80 originals, 20 covers.
Yeah.
If you don't look at it like
gotta
that.
Gotta spice it up with some covers occasionally, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, we've done like a few Oasis songs. We've done a few Cure songs. And because like, there are times where it's like, well, we gotta play for another 4 or 5 minutes. So there are times when we're rehearsing, what's a good song to have in our back pocket? And so we'll do Morning Glory by Oasis is a really fun one to do. It's just like a nice like kind of rock anthem type thing.
Yeah.
Or In Between Days by The Cure. It's just kind of like a clap. Just, it makes me appreciate a lot of these bands because I didn't really listen to them a ton in high school. I've always known The Smiths and Cure, but it was really Louise exposing me to them. And that's another thing too, is just as I've gotten older and discovered more things, like I'm trying to take I'm trying to take bits of everything and like just expand my palette. But I think the other three are as well. Then we just kind of come together because it's a very collaborative band. Like, we're working on an album right now. And like, our goal is to like meet up at least once a week in some form or capacity. Because we want to get it out this year.
Well, tell us about your current released tracks, but then also what we can expect from this upcoming album.
Yeah, so we put out the EP Other Lives April of last year. So honestly, at the time of recording, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of its releasing. So that's exciting.
Definitely exciting.
Other Lives was kind of it's the first official release to feature all four of us in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So that was a really exciting thing, because the band's been together since 2022, but this is truly like the first release as like the like of the band where we feel like we've kind of come to our form. And I think the other guys would, I'd say, agree with that too. And I think Other Lives was written while we were observing others' lives, quite literally, just like one song's kind of written about honestly kind of dealing with narcissistic personalities and how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one about, you know, lost love, and you know, a lot of common themes, but these are written from honestly real experiences that we've had.
Yeah. Well, and that's always, I think, where the best songs come from, right? Themes mm-hmm. that people can relate to, but that have a new or interesting take that you haven't really heard before.
I'd say some songs more than others were developed at the time, but like in general, we recorded the EP while said stuff was, so it's kind of like a written while in the moment. And then again, what's nice is having a guy in your band record you, and Emilio is a killer. Side note, shout out Treetop Audio. So
I love that. Yeah. I love that you guys are self-sustaining in the way mm-hmm. that you're able to not only be the band, but then also do the technical side as well. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And like, I mean, if we're just being completely honest, like, you don't make a ton of money in music, especially with how the state of affairs are right now. So you have to like, I think what's nice about this group is like, we've just combined all of our different experiences, and we've just, we're trying to be practical, but while also just like making sure our art is represent, like, we're all in our late 20s, early 30s. Like, we want to make sure we're representing ourselves in the most efficient, but also like honest way possible.
Yeah. And so talk to us then a little bit about what you're doing kind of as your day job to help supplement during this time.
By day, I work as an administrative assistant to our inside sales department at Surface Combustion and Mommy. It's like industrial heating, furnaces, ovens, basically anything about like bending and melting steel.
Wow. And cool.
So anything heat related. So it's a cool industry to be in, because like, it does really affect everyday life, just with like automobiles to buildings, just and everything in between. Even like a few music companies have purchased parts from us so that way they can manufacture their products. Zildjian be an example, which is like, they're the biggest drum set cymbal company out there. So,
but you know, another thing that I think is interesting is you also write about music in addition to being a musician yourself.
Yeah.
So tell me about why you kind of got into that.
Yeah. So for the last give or take 4 or 5 years, I've been like writing on and off for Toledo City Paper specifically. As a you know, freelance writer, I've covered things outside of music too, but mostly they have me as the inside guy, is like with the music scene and like kind of what's happening. It helps when you have all these music people as friends on Facebook, and I'm like, oh, I know them, let me just say what's up, and then boom, an article. But I think it was a nice pairing, because there's a lot of people in Toledo and beyond who recognize there's a lot of talented people around here, so it was nice having that inside scoop and like presenting it to like when I was working with the editor, like, hey, this would be a cool person or a cool subject to talk about. And then, you know, it just there are some people that need the recognition. And that, you know, that's musicians, that's photographers, local politicians, business owners. So it was cool being able to do more than music, but having music be just kind of the guiding light was nice.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because you have the perspective of being both an active party in the music scene locally, but also as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious of your take of the overall Toledo music scene, just in general, and also right now. I mean, I did see a post from you on Facebook kind of talking about how you feel like the scene is going through some growing pains or a transition. So tell me a little bit about your overview of the Toledo music scene.
It's full of amazing people on all sides of it, whether it's the bands that kind of make up your cover bands. So a lot of the bands that you'll see at the Hollywood Casino, Beer Stube, Cock and Bull, etc. And then you have a lot of artists who kind of take up more of like the original scenes. Like they mostly just, you know, write their own songs, you know, and with whatever aspirations they're going for. And then there's myself, where I've been able to kind of bounce in both worlds and kind of meet everyone. So it's kind of going through pains, because I think in general, like as we get older, people are getting older. So I'm seeing a lot of people, and you see a lot in the music world, like they settle down when in one way or another. So I'm seeing a lot of people getting married, having kids, settling down, moving, you know, different jobs, whatever the case may be. So I think there's some, I'm just seeing a lot of transition. Like, but on the flip side, there's a lot of newer bands coming up right now, on the cover and original side. So I think a lot of them are still trying to get their footing and trying to be like, hey, we're here, you know? So I think, as some people are kind of on their way out, there's a lot of people moving in, but there's a balance too. And I think, I mean, let's be real, COVID kind of hurt things in a lot of ways. I think it hurt audience participation, because people were just, some people don't, a lot of show etiquette's kind of weird right now. A lot of people talk during shows, which I'm not a fan of, even in like theater shows. I've noticed it. So, I think just a combination of the isolation and then the economic pains of a lot of venues have come and gone, or things have happened where venues have had to close. So I think places to play at, people to play with, availability, pay, I think there's a lot of growing pains right now. But I think we're also coming out of winter. So I think a lot of people are just kind of getting cabin fever. So I think right now, so we're about to get to outdoor show season, which I'm pumped for.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
But there are a couple venues I do want to like really highlight. First and foremost, Frankie's has always been a mainstay in Toledo for the Toledo's music scene. And they've kind of made a revival in the last couple years.
Yeah. It's cool to kind of see the back and forth between, you know, our Toledo rock bands are really prominent, but also our Toledo jazz scene is just historic and very incredible.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to kind of have the dichotomy of both.
Absolutely. And like, I'd be remiss to say that, like, or I don't want to make sure we look over this. Like, Art Tatum is one of the most prolific jazz musicians, period.
Absolutely.
Came from Toledo. So a lot of people don't realize, like, if you know, you know, but I don't think a lot of people realize how deep the jazz and, like, you know, even like blues and a lot of like traditional music is here.
Absolutely.
We have a big choral presence. We have a big choral presence as well. And like a lot of, we have a ton of like, I mean, just a lot of ton of music programs, whether it's theater or school.
Well, and even talking about that, you also do play in the pits for a lot of different theater groups and different shows in the area.
Yeah.
So tell me kind of about why, first of all, you take those gigs, but then also what it's like for you to be playing music that's definitely different in a lot of ways from what you and your band do normally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the reason I take those gigs is because I started doing them in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did jazz band in high school too. Cause it was just like, oh wait, I get to play guitar at school. Sweet.
Right.
but then also the other musicians like were my friends. So yeah. Like the drummer Chad, like he's my best friend, ride or die. So like, it was just like, I get to play music, but I get to play like my favorite instrument while doing this. So like the first show I ever did was Footloose.
Oh, cool.
In 2011, which is a great, like, music wise is a great guitar musical to do. So that, and I was a freshman in high school. So I was like, what, 14 or 15. They're like, yeah, you can do the lead guitar. I'm like, okay. You know, I was like maybe playing guitar for like four years up until then.
Yeah.
So I was like, but it teaches you a lot of just like, you have to listen and look around. Like, it really teaches you to like blend in with the ensemble. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, as a guitar player, we share similar qualities of like lead singer syndrome, where it's like center of attention. but then, so it really taught me to like blend in with, because like all my favorite guitar heroes, like I've seen so many of these videos where they're just rocking out.
Yeah.
And it's just like that I want that's what I want to be. That's yeah. dope. But then what's real, but that's sweet. But to get to that, what's more important is blending with musicians around you. And I think with that's being in Pitts, I've gotten to play with over time, I've gotten to play with some of the best musicians in Toledo, honestly, are in the Pitts scene. So like if you go to pretty much any of the high school or community theater groups in Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan, there's a circle of like some of the best musicians in the area playing yeah. these Pitts.
Well, and it's cool because Libby and I both just got to work with you for Spring Awakening,
yep.
which you played at Stone Productions at the Collingwood Arts Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that show is a really good example of what you're talking about with the blending, but then also taking that very huge solo moment, because there are so many moments where the guitar is very prominent and we yeah. need that energy because it's a rock musical and you would have yeah. nothing without the guitar. But then at the same time, there are a lot of more introspective and quiet scenes where you have to kind of take the backseat to the strings or, mm-hmm. you know, to the pianist. And I think it was yeah. very cool to watch you and the rest of the Pit kind of decide who's going to jut forward now, who's going to kind of lean back, that yeah. kind of thing.
No, I appreciate that. And like, side note, it's so like when you're doing it, you don't really think people are paying attention. But then people come up to the comments, I'm like, it's really, first off, it's really flattering. Thank you. But I'm also just like, I'm just here doing my thing.
I saw so many people go up to Tanner and be like, oh, your guitar is awesome, blah, 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 which was so fun. I love when the Pit gets yeah. recognition for shows.
No, I appreciate it. That was a fun Pit too. But one specific thing I'll reference is with Ben on piano, something that him and I deliberately talked about was there's actually two guitars that are needed for the musical, but like it was only facilitated to have one, which sometimes I kind of like, because when you're covering both parts, you can kind of get creative. And
yeah,
the cool sure. thing about Stone Productions, they were kind of, because I've worked with them a bunch of, like, just if it sounds good, it is good type of thing. But like yeah. they're like, have fun with it. But like that, it's another thing too, like listen around you, like don't have moments where they're needed.
Yeah.
Sure. Which takes a lot of talent to be able to do, and be able to kind of go off the book and improvise mm-hmm. is almost harder than just following what's on the page.
For sure. So something Ben and I definitely made sure we were on the same page about, literally, was just about like, okay, like in this song, how are you approaching it?
Yeah.
And basically, like there are some songs where piano is a little bit more forward, some where guitar was a little bit more forward, but then also, you know, we also had a violin player, viola player, cello player, electric bass, drums. So like we had a lot of elements going too yeah. for that show, on top of just like what's going on stage. And there were some side effects too. The one side effect I want to talk about is the dry ice fog from the first night.
Yeah,
it all just kind of flooded onto me.
We had a little bit of a technical difficulty with our dry ice the first night, and Tanner took the brunt of that, so thank you. Because we did, I mean, usually, I think the other thing we should mention with this is, usually when you see a Pit, they're in the Pit, that's why they're called that.
Correct.
But for this show, you guys were all on stage with us, mm-hmm. just, which was phenomenal set design, and also just really creative for us to then get to feel the energy physically radiating from you guys onto us for right. each of the songs. It was very cool.
Yeah, that was sweet. I think it's nice too, because like it helps with cues too, because like the act, like all the actors are just right there.
Yeah.
So like yeah, you have microphones, but I could also have, like, I had stage volume, so I could like hear y'all too.
Definitely.
There was one show I did where it was Children of Eden over at the Toledo Rep back in September. It was just like, I was just doing the fill-in gigs. I was just doing like the one show for someone, like how Wyatt subbed for me. I was subbing for Elijah, but they had the Pit in like a treehouse kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So it was like this, it was a platform, but it was raised like, I'd say 5 or 6 feet above. So we were above the cast, but like in a corner.
Yeah.
So,
which, yeah, I mean, it is such a different style too from mm-hmm. playing in a Pit versus playing, you know, pop covers or your own original music, which I want to get back to. You've mentioned before kind of the aspirations, and I want to know what you see for Currents in the future.
I mean, at the moment, we're really focused on this album, and I think actively right now we're working on playing in different cities. I think something that a lot of bands need to do if they want to really expand and grow, we have social media, but at the end of the day, you do have to get in front of people, and you can only do so much if you're playing in your own city all the time. And I love playing in Toledo, but I think sometimes I love change of scenery, but also like, I love getting out there and seeing how different people react to us.
Sure.
Yeah. Cleveland has really great shows. Cleveland has really great audiences. So Cleveland's always fun to play.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, baby. Yo, you gotta have some good shows there.
Truth, truth. So Cleveland always treated us well. We played there back in February and back in November. I got to hit two cities I never played off, like played in, Dayton and Cincinnati this past fall. So like I'm like it's kind of like when you get a tattoo. It's like, oh, I'm itching to get another one. Like I'm itching to get into a different city.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Like we're really eyeballing. Like we're really trying to like get around to like the Midwest. Like try and get to the regional cities. So we really want to play Columbus. Mm-hmm. We really want to play Chicago. What's also nice is like you get to meet all these different bands too. And like another thing I found too is connecting with different bands in different cities. The actual networking, like legitimately DMing a band, just striking a conversation.
Well, and you've dropped a lot of really good advice throughout this episode in terms of your career, but then also just for the music scene at large. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, though, we like to end every episode by asking, you know, what advice you would give to somebody in your position. So what advice would you give to some of these other bands who are trying to come up in the community or just single mm-hmm. musicians who are trying to come up in the music scene?
I mean, this is just all based off my experience, truthfully, but like just try different things within music.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, because it gets you in different places, different people, different experiences. Because, like you guys have kind of highlighted a few times, yeah, it's definitely different playing like Sweet Home Alabama in a bar on a Friday night.
Yeah,
to following along with actors and actresses in a musical score.
Right.
And then the everything, but then the everything in between.
Absolutely.
And I think the different. It exposes you to different things, different people, but also like as a performer, especially when you're in the moment, it exposes you to different, just, I don't know, whether it's a technical difficulty, whether it's something you have to do on the fly, just a lot of like on the spot, just in the moment scenarios. Having different experiences, I think kind of just prepares you over time. It's like, okay, I know what to do for this, I know what to do that. So, but at the same time, it gives you to work with different people. And then you get to gain their perspectives, or sometimes you get to work with people where you're just like, I won't do that.
Yeah.
For better, I mean, for
learning
worse.
Learning what not to do is definitely a good lesson in addition to learning what to do.
That's a whole different podcast episode. What not to do.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back, have that discussion.
Like what not to do in music, what not to do at your job, what not to do at Kroger on a random Wednesday night.
Okay, usually this is the time of the podcast where we will start our Roman Empire. However, we thought since we have a musician on the show, we should play our other favorite game, Hit or Miss.
Yes, Hit or Miss.
We are so excited because we're going to ask Tanner 20 different artists or bands, okay. 10 of which are popular from this past year, and the other 10 are kind of those guitar heroes that you were talking about, some of those original influences on today's modern music.
Like some of the classics.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we're going to get your opinion. Give me a hit or a miss based on whether or not you like the artist or the group. And then you also, if you feel the need to defend yourself, you can, but it'll be more rapid fire. So you ready?
Yeah.
We're going to start with popular from this past year.
Okay.
And then we'll end with the OGs.
Got it.
So the 10 from this year, we're going to start with Ariana Grande.
Hit. I like some of her songs.
For sure. Tyler, the Creator.
Hit.
Absolutely. Taylor Swift.
Hit.
Couldn't see it through the podcast, but he had to think about it for a second.
There's more of her than people think.
Yeah, that's for a good her. Perspective. I like that.
She's like an onion. There's a lot of layers. But like when you get to the layers, there's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Chappell Roan.
Hit.
Absolutely. Lady Gaga.
Hit.
Charlie XCX.
I'm in the middle. I gotta listen to more.
That's fair.
I gotta listen to more.
You didn't have a brat summer, Tanner?
No.
Maybe 2025 is your turn for the brat summer.
Honestly, it's starting to look like that. And I'm here for it.
Sabrina Carpenter.
Hit.
Absolutely.
Kendrick Lamar.
Hit. Definitely after the Super Bowl.
For sure.
Especially after that.
And finally, Greta Van Fleet.
That's a miss for me.
I was wondering. That's what we were excited to put them on here because we wanted your opinion.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to it.
We don't have to get into it.
Okay.
you can keep that one to yourself. It's okay.
Okay.
And then Hozier.
Pitt.
Yeah. Have to be,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
So now let's go to the OGs. Some of these OG groups have inspired the modern music today. We'll start with Queen.
Hit 1000%.
Deep breath before hit.
One of the best shows I've ever been to.
Oh, amazing.
I'm jealous. Rolling Stones.
Hit. They put on a killer show last summer.
Really?
In Cleveland, yeah.
Love that. The Beatles.
Hit. I mean, it's, come on.
Who would say miss to that, low-key?
Like, they have so much music. I think everyone likes the Beatles, but they have parts of the Beatles they like.
That's fair.
Because, like, they have such a deep catalog. I think they just kind of...
The Taylor Swift eras, but it's the Beatles eras.
I mean, kind of.
It would eat.
Every album's a little different, so kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix.
Hit, for sure.
My favorite, David Bowie.
Hit, for sure.
Absolutely had to pause. The silent nod was everything.
Big shout out to his original guitar player, Mick Ronson. He crushed in the 70s during the, what was it? The something spider. What's it?
The Spiders from Mars.
Yeah, like he was a guitar player from that era. Mm-hmm. Just underrated player. He rules.
Oh, yeah. Love it. He eats. I love that. Black Sabbath.
Big, big hit. But no, because like some of the first songs I ever learned to play on guitar. Paranoid is the first song I ever learned from like start to finish.
Wow.
I love that.
And plus, like, just, I mean, it's Black Sabbath, dude.
Of course. Of course.
Motley Crue.
They used to be a hit, but I think they're a miss now.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Changed opinion.
I won't hold back on that. Well, here's the thing. They're in the whole, like, we're going to break up and then they're back. And then it just seems like
the indecision.
But then like just recent footage I've seen, I'm just, it's hard to watch.
It is.
Like, and then there's a lot of controversy right now with older artists and backing tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have an opinion on how deep like Motley Crue goes with it, but there's gotta be some. And like, I don't know, for me, like, I wouldn't pay to go see that if I knew like singing to like a recording.
Yeah,
I'd be like, okay, I'll stay home and listen to the recording.
Yeah, right. For sure. I get
that's just kind of how it is, and just sometimes like that side of the business is kind of really icky. I try not to do that.
Definitely. And then Metallica.
Ooh, yeah. Definitely big hit. They're just again kind of like Sabbath and a lot of those other bands is like really important.
For sure.
Especially for like a young guitar player with angst.
Yeah, right. There's that angst we talked about.
I remember doing a song in eighth grade, like find a song, print the lyrics, write about what the meaning is. I chose Master of Puppets.
As nice. You should.
Mrs. Harrington was like, yo, what? But then eventually.
Wait, your teacher's name was Mrs. Harrington?
Yeah.
And then they used Master of Puppets in Stranger Things with Steve Harrington.
That's what I'm saying.
You manifested that, actually. I think it was because of you.
Netflix, I need them royalties.
Real.
But yeah, Metallica rules. Also rules live.
Okay, Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, sweet, they're hit, yep.
Absolutely love that. And then last but not least, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, definitely hit. One of the goats.
Love that. All right, well, Tanner, thank you so much for giving us all of your insight and opinions on the music industry. We've had so much fun chatting with you
thank
today.
Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, ladies, an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks for all the cool work you're doing and highlighting all the sweet people in our community that people need to know about. So keep doing what you're doing and hope to see y'all at a show soon.
'We want to thank Tanner Wirtz, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.